Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Chris Evans here with a special edition of the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio, featuring super cool firecracker Lisa Bilyeu talking about her brand new book, Radical Confidence, 10 No BS Lessons on Becoming the Hero of Your Own Life. Lisa's a Brit who moved to LA 20 years ago, met her husband Tom, and together they founded and created the billion-dollar Quest Nutrition Protein Bar Company. She's awesome. She has an awesome story and lots of useful things to pass on. Here she comes.
Needing a wee kick up the behind? Well, this powerhouse of a guest is going to take absolutely no beep and is certainly going to fill your boots. Her new book, Radical Confidence, is out now. Phew! I'm already feeling pumped. How about you? Here to help you own your own life is Lisa Bilyeu!
All right, Lisa.
What up? That is like the most epic intro. Can I just take you with me?
Yeah. You can.
I should have bought a bigger suitcase.
Yeah, and we'll pay for it, all his transport. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. Chris, this is so surreal for me.
Tell us why. Come on.
Oh, come on. I grew up listening to you. You're
joking? Oh, my goodness me. So you're based in LA now. You married an American chap. You've been there for a long, long time. Obviously, you have family here, big connection here. You went to university here. And I believe Marie Forleo said you've got to get on this show. Is that right?
Oh, man, she's a good friend of mine. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, this book is fantastic. Radical Confidence, 10 No BS Lessons on Becoming the Hero of Your Own Life. By the lady in front of us now, Lisa Bilyeu. So let's cut to the chase. We've got half an hour. We've got 25 minutes. So let's really go for it. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Let's hit the ground running. Tell us all, first of all, engage people with this amazing company that you and your hubby and his pals co-founded. It's a protein bar company. It's these little bars that started off in your kitchen. You were the packing department of one, and then you went on to sell the company for like a gazillion dollars. Just tell us about that, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a very traditional Greek wife for 8 years, and I was supporting my husband, putting clothes out for him, cooking for him, and then him and his business partners had the crazy idea to start a protein bar company. And as a really traditional Greek wife, I was like, oh babe, how can I help you? I'll support you. Of course, I can ship a couple of boxes. That shouldn't be too difficult. What I didn't realize is that the company would grow at 57,000%. And so that literally takes you from shipping bars one day to a year later. You're just growing so quickly. You have your own facility. And so every step of the way, I had zero idea what I was doing. I was completely clueless. But our house was up for collateral. So in those moments where it's like you don't know what you're doing, you've got the obstacle, that voice in your head is saying, stop doing it. You don't know what you're doing. You're no good. Like that negative voice, I didn't have the luxury to listen. I just had to keep moving forward because our house was up for collateral. And so before you know it, I've got a facility of 10,000 square feet, 40 employees underneath me, and I'm just learning every step of the way.
You say before you know it, but it did take a few years, you know, and you literally had zip all and less than zip all for a while, as your hubby said, we need to sort of and put the house at risk, the ranch as it were.
Yeah.
And it was an apartment, wasn't it?
It was a little house.
A little house,
okay.
We
just bought the house, yeah.
All right, and so but before that, you found yourself stuck. You and he had hopes and dreams of making movies. You were both into movies. You wanted to be in movies ever since you were little and direct them, write them. And
yeah.
He started writing a screenplay, and then you think, well, you thought we need some money, and then you say you supported him for 8 years, but you found yourself stuck. And that's in the book. You thought, hang on a minute, how did I get stuck?
Yeah.
Then you become really successful, and you find yourself stuck. You find yourself stuck again.
Yeah. So I don't know anyone who's listening, but like, I call it the purgatory of the mundane, where I didn't hit rock bottom. So many people, so many successful people I know hit rock bottom. And it's in hitting the rock bottom that jolts them into action. Because you're kind of thinking, I've really got nothing else to lose, so I might as well go for it. But what about the millions of us that don't hit rock bottom, where our life is just fine? It's just all right. And so that's where I was, which never forced me to make a change. It never propelled me to ask for a different life, even though I wasn't living that actual dream. And so, you know, I think that for me, it's I got tied up in an identity of being a good Greek wife. And here's what happens is that we get validation for the things that we do. And so I was getting the pats on the back and the external validation from all of my Greek family that was like, she's such a great Greek wife. From my husband, that was like, thank you, you take such great care of me. And so many of us, I think, get stuck with the validation, because if I was to change and I fail at whatever I'm about to do, where am I going to get the validation from? So I think that keeps so many of us stuck in making a change in our lives, because we're wondering where we're going to feel good about ourselves. And what I realized was over the course of my journey is that I need to validate myself. And so it's a chapter in my book called Validation is for Parking, because it's like we so focus on getting validation from external sources. And so that chapter very specifically is, how do you create validation within yourself so that you're not seeking for outside people to give that pat on the back.
The chapters are fantastic. So there are 10. You say there are 10, but there are 11 in the end, aren't there? There's a bonus 11.
There's a bonus, yeah.
Okay. Making your mind up and making up your mindset. Now, yeah. your hubby was very early on this bus, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And tell us about you and mindset. Mindset's so important, I think. And also, if you have the right mindset in the beginning, it makes so many decisions for you. You don't have to then exhaust yourself wondering whether to turn left or right.
Yeah, exactly. So fixed mindset is the person that says, I can't do that, that's impossible. Now, what happens is that echoes your actions. So if you think something's not possible, guess what? You're not going to even give it a shot. But if you're the type of person that has a growth mindset, that means who you are today doesn't dictate who you can become. So for instance, if you came to me today and you were like, all right, Lisa, we want you to do X, Y, and Z. I have no idea how to do that. But you know what, Chris? I will figure it out. And just by changing the idea of something being impossible to I will figure it out propels me to take action. And it's that action that then eventually leads to hopefully the dream or the life that you actually want.
So you tell this story about figuring things out, you know, from the off. And they do say leaders fix things and figure things out. And, you know, other people tend to make problems bigger and deeper and more dramatic, because it means they then have a better reason, A, not to deal with them, or B, to fail having pretended or sort of half tried to deal with them. You also, there's a great quote in your book, which I love. You know, if you big up somebody else and you say that, you know, that this person is amazing, they're like a superhuman, then that's fine. But you can't do that in order to then get out of them becoming any good yourself.
Yeah, one of the most impactful quotes that I ever heard, I was in front of a woman called Lisa Nichols, incredible motivational speaker. And at the time, my husband was interviewing her and I was executive producing, and I was in the audience in the back, and she's just saying so amazing things and everyone in the audience is crying. And I'm like, wow, this woman is so amazing. I could never do that. This woman is so amazing. I could never do that. And as this thought is going in my head, she turns around and she's like, stop making me extraordinary to let yourself off the hook.
Oh, I think that is fantastic.
And I was like, oh, right. It's like we use the excuse, right, that, oh, Chris Evans is a special talent, so there's no way I can even do it. Now, what you're doing is you're self-sabotaging. You're literally telling yourself, well, you shouldn't even bother trying because you're not talented like them. And what that does, it gives you a reason. It lets you off the hook for even trying, yeah, right?
There's a section of the book, you sabotage your self-sabotage.
Yeah,
that's the way forward.
Exactly.
So give us some hacks on that, then.
Yeah, so really it's just calling yourself in your own stuff. So it's like, oh, I can't do that. Okay, well, let's actually break it down. You may not be able to now, but what are the things that you think are getting in your way? And once you call yourself in your own stuff, it's like it becomes difficult to give yourself that excuse, that out. And that's the thing with self-sabotage, is sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it. You're doing it to self-soothe yourself, to protect yourself. And so by just asking yourself questions and calling yourself out on your own excuses gives you, to me, the beautiful truth. And once you have the truth, now you can just act in accordance. Because if you hear the truth and you're like, I actually don't want to do that, I don't want to be on the radio for 30 years to get as good as Chris, all right, great. But now you know. Now you're not beating yourself up over the fact that you're not a good radio host like Chris.
It's so funny. Because you talk about, I listened to your podcast with your husband on the way
Thank
in today.
You.
So I read your book yesterday, and so Tom does a podcast and he's been doing it for years. He has now like over 900 episodes of this podcast.
Yeah,
he
does. Yeah.
Okay, what's the name of the podcast?
Impact Theory.
Impact Theory. And you're a co-founder. You're president of Impact Theory.
I am,
too.
And I have my own show called Women of Impact.
You do indeed. listening to Tom, having listened to him before as a guest and also as a host on his own podcast, as a guest on other people's podcasts, it was so interesting listening to him interview you because he treated you like a guest.
Yeah, he did.
And it was so funny. It was quite formal. The intro was quite formal. And then like 5 or 6 minutes in, he sort of has to acquiesce. Of course, you're married. And it was such an interesting listen. But you talk about how fantastic he is on stage and in front of people. And all these different speaking engagement that he seems so sort of natural to take to. But of course, it's never that easy, not even for him. And he's blimmin' good, I got to say. And so you made a deal with yourself, didn't you? Because he said, look, it's fine. You don't have to go on stage, Lisa. You don't have to speak in front of people. As long as you, you admit to yourself that is you agreeing not to be as impactful as you can.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, what'd you say that for? What happened next?
Yeah, so really it's about, okay, someone says what their goal is and then you see the person not actually act in accordance to what they say they want. Mm-hmm. And so to me, when you have a partner, they should be honest with you, transparent. And so there was no judgment in his voice. He was literally like, babe, you have the life you want.
That's fine.
But just so you know, right now you're saying you want impact and then you keep saying no to speaking gigs. You really need to think through that. So what I did is I was like, okay, he's actually right. So why am I saying no? It's because I'm scared. I'm petrified to get on stage. And so in that moment, it hit me. Oh, so the scared part, the voice in the head is like, Lisa, don't get on stage. You're going to bomb. Don't get on stage. Is the ego, right? The ego is trying to protect me. The ego doesn't want me to be embarrassed. So it's telling me not to do it. And in that moment, I was like, this is the most beautiful thing. I've just realized I have to choose between my goal and my ego. And in that moment, I was like, oh, my goal's way more important than my ego. So that allowed me to make the decision, right? Because that's the hard thing, is like, just decide and then take the steps. So then I lay out in the chapter of how I've then decided to get on stage, but I'm still petrified. Yeah. So how the hell do I get on stage? And so it becomes these stepping stones of, number one, you tell your team to say yes without asking you. So that was how I agreed to my first speaking
right
gig.
Now you made a deal with yourself. Sorry, I was just going to check you there.
Please,
1 second.
Yeah.
So Lisa made a deal with herself because she had experienced different invites to speak at different things. She'd always said no because she was too nervous, and she made this decision and she said, okay, the next engagement I'm invited to speak at, I will accept. Thinking slash hoping it would be a local school, you know, a parents' evening. Yeah. Come and tell us how it is for women in business. But the next request that came in was from Ted.
Yeah, it was TEDx.
And you had to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you make a commitment to yourself and you make a promise to yourself, you've got to keep them. Because if you can't even rely on yourself, who can you rely on?
Right.
So I was like, oh, damn it. Like, what am I going to do now? And so then it became a whole stepping stone of, okay, well, now you've said yes. How do you actually get on stage? What are the tools you're going to use? Because the fear is very real. But I know that I can't let that dictate my life. I've already done that. I've made a decision not to let it. So now how am I actually going to do it? And that's really what I talk about in the book, is that I don't judge myself for being scared, for having the fear, for having the imposter syndrome. I don't judge myself for it. I just accept it and say, okay, this is who you are, but you're not going to let that stop you.
Right.
So what are you going to do to not let that stop you? And so that is then where I become a whole, I have like all tips and tools of how I actually show up. So like right here, right now, I've actually got a pair of socks on that I did to motivate myself to come on the Chris Evans show. And it says, can I take my shoe off?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to take my shoe off and just show you. This is my little subliminal motivation that I have. So I've got socks that says, she believes she could, so she did. Now, I put these socks on especially for you, Chris.
You're so brilliant because you're so you're so vulnerable slash confident. You know, there's a lot of Brené Brown going on here as well, isn't there? You know, daring greatly.
Yeah.
And you're coming across, you're fizzing on the radio. But I know because I've read your book and I've listened to you being interviewed by your husband, that even when asked to write this book a year ago, you said, but I haven't got anything to teach anyone.
Yeah, so I got an offer and my husband comes in, he's like, babe, I can't believe it. You got a book offer. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And I was so, he's like, why are you being so nonchalant about it? And I was like, well, babe, who would buy a book from me? And in that moment, Chris, I just realized, oh, the insecure 14-year-old girl in me that got bullied, that got teased for her looks when she was a kid, she's never gone. And instead of judging myself for it, now I just go, oh, bless, the 14-year-old is still there. It's okay. I know that you don't have to be great at anything. You don't have to have the confidence to get started. You have to be the learner. You have to go in very humble and just ask a ton of questions
and
figure it out. Going back to how where we started, right? A quest is like, do you believe you can figure it out? Yes or no? And so with the book, I was like, oh, I have no idea how to write a book. So actually, why would I have confidence? And I gave myself the radical confidence, which means that, oh, I don't know how to write a book, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to learn.
What I love about the arc so far of your story is that you were such a fan of movies as a kid, right? And movies are all about telling stories. And the way, you know, the way you tell a story is by breaking the message down that you want to get across, and you begin, you know, with an opening scene or an opening paragraph, you know, or an opening sentence even, if you like. And that's your theory now.
Yeah.
That's how you do it now, isn't it? You break everything down into almost a screenplay.
Yeah.
A scene structure, and you go, okay, if this were a story, how would I tell it? Okay. Now I know how to tell it. Why don't I just act it out? Why don't I live it? Because I know that if I've got my story laid out in front of me, then it's going to be okay. People might not like it, but I will have something to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you've got the screenplay, right, there's no room for emotions. It's like, what do you say? What does that person say? And so for me, I use the screenplay analogy also to improve myself. So let's say, for instance, I'm in a discussion or something, you're in business, and let's say someone triggers you. We've all been in that situation where you're in meetings and you maybe get triggered over something. So people ask me, how do you stop getting triggered? And I'm like, I can't prevent the past, but I take the past as my screenplay. And so what I do is I start writing out what happened in that conversation, but it's not how I feel, it's just what people said. Then I rewrite the screenplay, knowing now my triggers and the flags that were warned that I was getting escalated with that trigger. And then it goes to, now you have the power to rewrite the screenplay so that next time you get triggered and you show up, you know how to show up. You've got the screenplay handy, and now you act out the way you wish you had acted out last time.
Yeah, I love it so much. I love the fact that your book is a memoir as well as, you know, a sort of handbook, a playbook. Was that always your intention?
I'm back to storytelling. I love storytelling. They so resonate with me more than just do this and do that. So to me, it was very important to give tactics and tools, because people used to look at me and they're like, oh my God, Lisa, you're so confident. Where'd you get your confidence from? And Chris, I'm like, who the hell are they talking to? Because if you heard how negative the voice in my head is, you would never think I was confident. So what it is that, I'm radically confident. It means I don't feel good about myself. I don't know what I'm doing, but
best.
I figure it out.
It's one of the best messages ever, because I feel exactly the same way.
And people would never believe it, Chris. They would look at you and go, of course you're confident.
We have serial insecurity.
Yes, we do. And that's okay. Right, that's the thing, is that we do.
We have to tool up because we need it, don't we?
Yeah.
We can't go in there without a holster.
It's so true.
We need some ammunition, man.
Yeah.
Because we got nothing otherwise.
And that's radical confidence.
Yeah, man. It's so good. It's so good. Now, let's get back to the protein bar, which is fascinating.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where did the protein bar thing come from? Because it wasn't the first business idea your hubby had with his pals, because they were teching first of all, weren't they? What give us the protein bar sort of origin story.
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband, we wanted to make movies. Both of us had experience on film sets. They were absolutely terrible. I had an actor throw a matchbox at me, and I was like, this isn't the dream that I actually thought it was going to be. So my husband was like, oh, well, babe, if we actually finance it ourselves, we control the resources, we can control the art, and now we're not in a situation when we feel disrespected. So we're like, oh, it shouldn't be too difficult. How hard is making money? And so he goes off and he's like, all right, he's going to go to work every day. And I decided, we just had a interview with Steve Jobs, and he said he never thinks about what he wears, which is why he always wears black on top and jeans, because you only have a certain amount of decision making you can make in a day with clarity. So that was how I ended up staying at home. I said, oh, babe, I'll support you. I'll do everything outside the business. I'll do it for about a year and a half, shouldn't be too difficult. But of course, like so many of us, we sacrifice and we say it's just a year, and then we sacrifice again, and it's like, well, it's just another year.
Yeah.
And you end up sacrificing for everybody else, everything else except for yourself. And so what ended up happening after 8 years, both me and my husband were utterly miserable. Oh. Not a surprise, right? Because when you end up just chasing money, it's empty. And so in that moment, it's like, I'm no longer happy. We not loving what we're doing. Let's just actually start a company and do something that's predicated on passion, predicated on something. If I don't succeed, I still love my life.
Yeah.
And what would that look like? Now, my husband and his business partners, for the different reasons, chose a protein bar. His other business partners, one was like a fitness fanatic. He was like a bodybuilder. The other person was like obsessed with nutrition. And my husband comes from a morbidly obese family. And so for him, his mission was to help his mum and his sister. It's like Mother Teresa thinks like, no one will fight for the masses, but everybody will fight for the one. So who is that one in your life? So my husband was fighting for his mum and his sister. And so as the true traditional Greek wife, because I'd been a housewife for 8 years, I jumped in. I was like, how can I help, babe? Now, because we grew at 57,000%, no one expected it, because no one thought that protein bar could be made. We literally got experts telling us, oh, we need another protein bar, like we need a hole in the head. At the time, there was like 1,500 bars on the market.
Yeah, they all tasted like sawdust.
It was like a dying category.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but it wasn't going to play.
Yeah, and everyone said it's not possible, it's impossible. And we just didn't listen. And so what happened was, every time we faced an obstacle where a machine broke because we couldn't process the bars through the machine, it's like, oh, well, how do we figure this out? Because all of the business partners and us, we all had our house up for collateral. So we didn't just accept no or impossible as an answer.
Right, and a big tipping point for you was the Justin Bieber story. There's so many great stories. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is all about how to sort of increase and develop your own confidence. 10 no BS lessons on becoming the hero of your own life by Lisa Bellew, Radical Confidence. But there are some great stories in there. Back in the, you know, sort of fledgling days of Instagram, you were told about Instagram, this thing you couldn't even recognise the name. Insta, what was it? How long is this going to be around for? Is it going to be another MySpace? Is it going to be another whatever? Why? We got to send some Quest bars to Justin Bieber. Where? Why? Tell us more.
Yeah, so given context, everything I've just said, I've stayed at home wife for 8 years. My background was filmmaking. I now have grown into helping Quest build our shipping department. And all of a sudden, one of the social media managers comes running up to me. He's like, Lisa, we've got a chance to actually get bars to Justin Bieber. And I was like, great, let's do it. And he's like, but there's a catch. It's like, he's going to be in Dubai. It's like a 36-hour turnaround. And at the time, it was like food product in Dubai was basically impossible. And so I was like, all right, let's just figure it out. So I call up our UPS manager and he's like, no, it's not possible. Now, in that moment, I could have listened to him, or in that moment, I could have said, well, it's not his company. No one's going to fight for your dream more than you will, period. And that was when I realized, oh, this is actually true. I have to fight for it if I want to see the results. And because it was such a big stake, Justin Bieber could have changed the business overnight. I was like, I have to at least try. I have to go all in and accept that failure is a possibility, that I may fall on my face, that I may make mistakes, but at least I tried. And that's where the radical confidence comes. I used to be the person that didn't have the confidence to even say, let me try. But radical confidence means I'm just going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And so I went in and I was like, all right, well, you're not clearly not going to help. Can I speak to your manager? He comes and he's like, well, you're clearly not going to help. Can I speak to your supervisor? And eventually I just started reading imports and exports myself online, because I had no idea what I was doing. So I was just reading.
And the clock's ticking, because it's 30, there's a 36-hour deadline here.
So I was like, oh, I'm just going to overpay. I'm going to fill in more forms than I probably need to. I'm going to call the manager. I'm going to tell him to call Dubai's UPS. I'm going to give them my email, my phone number, so they can call me anytime if there's a problem at 2 a.m. And so eventually the bars actually got there on time, even though Justin Bieber didn't post about us. But the good news was, I learned that lesson.
Yeah.
That no one's going to fight for your dream more than you will. And do you freaking show up every day to fight for that dream?
All right. So the bars to Bieber story is one thing. But then you didn't have to seduce and bewitch the likes of the Kardashians and Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama, who were then seen on Instagram with boxes of your bars.
Yes.
Is that right?
So you had Khloe Kardashian was walking outside of a gym, and that was like, as we started to get bigger, that started to be a great sign that people were starting to like the product. Ryan Seacrest was posting about us. Hillary Clinton wrote
just
about
because.
Us in the book.
Just because they loved what you did.
Yeah, because the product really did break what people thought of as what protein bars were. And because people could take them on with them and they tasted amazing, people were like, there's not a product out there like it. And so obviously since then, multiple protein bars have come out because they realized it was done, right? You just need that one person, that one, you know, company to show what is possible. It's like the 4-minute mile, or, you know,
where the
person, you know, what's his name? Roger Bannister.
Yeah.
Where he was a neurologist. He wasn't even an athlete.
Yeah.
And people were told that the 4-minute mark, it cannot be run in less than a minute or 4 minutes. And so he just believed he could. He was a neurologist. So he's like, well, hang on a minute. If I believe I can, maybe I can. And he did it. And then I think it was 64 days later, the record got broken again.
And it was again. It's like El Cap. So the first person to climb up El Cap in Yosemite took a year to do it. They climbed for a year. The second person took a day.
Oh, my God,
and
I
before
love
the
that.
Person climbed it in a year, and said, "This can't be done." Well, he did it in a year, and the next guy says, "I think I'd probably do that a bit quicker." Did it in a day. And now you can do it in 90 minutes without ropes. Anyway, this is all great, Lisa. I could talk to you all day.
Oh,
there's a story about the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, ladies and gentlemen, which is not for breakfast radio, but it's some story to celebrate the anniversary of your first ever meal with your hubby out, a Chinese meal. It wasn't it wasn't your wedding anniversary, but it was literally the anniversary of your first ever dinner date.
Yeah.
He took you to the Beverly Wilshire and you just have you have to buy the book for this story alone. Okay, once again, it's called Rat. You can't even mention anything to do with that story on this show. I don't think so, anyway.
I know, yeah. I don't think you guys will allow me to say half of it.
I don't even know how we would begin to tell that story.
But can I actually say, Chris, crazy is this was the story that I held on to. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I didn't tell a damn soul.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Until I wrote it in the book. And you know what, Chris? You know how many women have come up to me and say, "Lisa, that happened to me. It happened to you too." See, Chris is saying it. But here's what's amazing. Yeah. I literally had to like coach myself into writing the story.
I think it's happened to like loads of people.
Isn't it crazy? But no one wants to admit it.
But you did.
I did.
You said it, so we didn't have to, but now we can. It's like the 4-minute mile. You've broken the ceiling for us all. We can all talk about our very own Beverly Wilshire moment. Beverly Wilshire Hotel. If you don't, you've got to read the story. It's unbelievable. Mm. What else can we say before you go? Oh, the moment, we've only got a minute left, but the moment that you and your hubby sold some of the business and you looked at your bank account online and you just watched, you know, what happened in the afternoon, and then you realised, oh my goodness me, it looks like we've become financially independent probably for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And then you went and bought a house without a mortgage. And what did that feel like? What was that day like for you?
So the funny thing is, when that happened, right, you kind of think about what it's going to be like. Oh my God, it's going to change your life. But at that point, when we'd been building Quest, it'd been, you know, 5-6 years, we had pivoted from, you know, obviously just trying to grow the company to really embodying a mission to actually helping people. And so when our bank account changed, we hugged, we did a selfie, and then we're like, okay, let's go back to work.
You cracked on.
Yeah, we didn't tell anyone. I told my dad, I told my family, you know, because obviously that was exciting. But I told no one would have guessed at work. Why? Because we so believe in our mission. It's about how do you show up every day? And, you know, I very much learned in the early days that money doesn't buy happiness. And so you have to have that mission to propel you forward, to get you excited, to get you out of bed in the morning.
You did afford each other a sneaky smile at work, though, that day, didn't you?
Yeah,
every time you passed each other in the corridor.
Yeah. Little wink. I can't believe it.
Yeah. We're doing all right.
Thank
God for that.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like the mission. Tie your heart to something that you believe in so strongly that even if you fail or succeed, it still fills your heart. That's the biggest key.
Well, the words bad and ass don't appear on the front cover, but this book is riven with that badass attitude. Oh, you're awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're an awesome person.
Thanks, Chris.
This is an awesome book. Lisa Bilyeu, Radical Confidence, 10 No BS Lessons in Becoming the Hero of Your Own Life. Great to meet you.
Thank you. You too, Chris.
You're awesome. You've got to get this book in your life.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
All right, that's it for now. Thanks to Lisa Bilyeu. Thanks for listening. Want to listen back to some more of our other podcasts from Pat Monahan, Mini Driver, or even Russell Brand? Have a great one. Goodbye. Ta-ra. Or shall I say, ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.